VOA, the science edition of Press Conference USA. Here is your host, Rick Pantaleo.
The current outbreak of the mosquito-borne Zika virus in the Americas and parts of the Caribbean has sparked fear among those who live in or travel to infected areas. Pregnant women and those planning a pregnancy are especially concerned due to reports of a serious neurological birth defect called microcephaly in babies of mothers who were infected with the virus during their pregnancy. A newly released study also suggests a link between the Zika virus and Guillain-Barré syndrome, a disorder where the immune system attacks the peripheral nervous system. Those with Guillain-Barré syndrome can experience muscle weakness, loss of reflexes, and numbness or tingling in the arms, legs, face, and other parts of the body. A month ago, the World Health Organization declared the Zika virus outbreak an international public health emergency and have announced a global emergency response plan to address the outbreak. On today's Science Edition of Press Conference USA, we talk with physicians and infectious disease specialists to learn more about the current Zika outbreak, the diseases and conditions associated with the virus, and what's being done to stop its spread. My first guest today is Dr. Anna Durbin, MD, an associate professor and researcher in the Department of International Health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Durbin, what is the Zika virus?
So the Zika virus is one of many viruses that are carried by mosquitoes. It came out of Uganda. It was first discovered in the Zika forest in a monkey in Uganda. And it's related to other types of viruses that are carried by mosquitoes, such as the dengue virus, the yellow fever virus, and the West Nile virus. So those are all sort of part of the same viral family, and they're all carried by mosquitoes. So you get them primarily from mosquito bites.
Why are people so concerned about this recent outbreak of Zika virus?
The reason people are so concerned is because of the possible link with birth defects that we're seeing coming out of Brazil. So it appears that women who are pregnant, particularly very early in their pregnancy, if they get infected with Zika during that time, the Zika virus may affect the child, and the child may be born with a very small head and other birth defects. So that's really why people are concerned. Otherwise, it does not seem to cause a very serious illness.
Since you brought it up, Dr. Durbin, let's talk a little bit about some of the concerns for pregnant women and women who plan to be pregnant. What should pregnant women who visited a country with a Zika virus prevalent do?
They should go to their obstetrician, and they should let the obstetrician know that they were in a country that has Zika, and they should be tested for the Zika virus. And they should also have an ultrasound done to check out the fetus.
What about women who are planning to get pregnant? What could happen to them regarding the Zika virus if they go to an affected country? In other words, they want to get pregnant. How long should they wait, for example? And what could happen?
We would recommend anyone who is childbearing age and thinking of getting pregnant, we would recommend that they avoid travel right now to Zika endemic areas, you know, if they're pregnant or if they're planning to become pregnant, you know, very soon. If they don't necessarily have plans to become pregnant, but any woman of childbearing age traveling to a Zika endemic area or a place where Zika is being transmitted should take extra precautions to avoid mosquito bites. So they should use a product containing DEET, a mosquito repellent. They should wear long sleeves on their shirts and slacks. They should try to stay in places that have screens and air conditioning. They should avoid becoming pregnant while they're there, so use good birth control. And their partners should also, you know, use condoms while in Zika areas. And then also, once they return, because we do know that Zika can be transmitted sexually, we don't know for how long it can be transmitted sexually. We know certainly for the first 2 to 3 weeks after return.
Does it matter when in her pregnancy a woman is infected with Zika virus? Is it more likely that her child might be affected if the Zika infection takes place early or even later in the pregnancy?
So we know that, for instance, for microcephaly, it's likely an early infection because that's when the brain is developing. So later on, after the brain has already developed, Microcephaly is not so much a concern, but what we don't know is, are there other birth defects that might occur? For instance, people have in Brazil have reported visual problems and hearing problems in babies. So we don't know if there are other birth defects that may occur if the mother is infected later on, for instance, in the third trimester.
After a woman is infected, say she visits an area where Zika is prevalent, she comes back, has a test, and the test comes out, she is infected. How long should she wait to get pregnant?
So if she is not infected, she's fine. Generally what we say is it takes, the virus won't take more than 2 weeks. If you're going to become symptomatic or be infected, that will occur within 2 weeks of return from your area. So if you get bitten on the last day, you're in an endemic area where Zika is transmitting. If you get tested within a two-week period and show no evidence of infection, likely you're fine. We always say, about 2 weeks out, you won't show symptoms. If you haven't showed symptoms by 2 weeks and you're tested and you're negative, you're fine. What our concern is the partner of a woman who's pregnant. So if she traveled with her partner, she comes back, she's not infected. Her partner should still use condoms for the duration of the pregnancy unless he tests negative as well. Because our concern is that we know that Zika can be transmitted sexually. We know it can be found in semen, but right now we don't know exactly how long it can be transmitted sexually. We know it's found in the semen longer than it's in the blood.
We've been hearing a lot about the possible birth defects caused by the Zika virus. Is there a specific disease associated with the Zika virus?
Generally, we call it Zika fever. And in non-pregnant women, it's just a low-grade fever, a rash, some red eyes, and some joint pains. It looks very much like dengue, although dengue is generally more severe than Zika, or another mosquito-transmitted disease, chikungunya, which is also spreading in the same areas as Zika. And again, chikungunya is generally more severe than Zika. If it were not for the link with microcephaly, and there would not be the concern about Zika that we're seeing.
So are there any other ailments linked to Zika?
There have been some reports of a neurological condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome. We do see this syndrome with other viral diseases. It's actually what happens is your own body, as you're mounting your immune response against the infection, that immune response attacks your own nerves. And we've seen it with influenza. We've seen it with some diarrheal diseases and other viruses. And there are reports coming out of Brazil and coming out of French Polynesia that there may be increasing numbers of Guillain-Barré syndrome linked to the Zika outbreak. And that's currently being investigated.
Right now, we're hearing that the greatest outbreak of a Zika virus or the Zika virus infection is in South America, Caribbean, and so forth. Is there danger of it spreading to other countries?
So it can spread, and it probably will spread, to all areas that have the mosquito, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, that is the primary transmitter of Zika. And we're seeing it follow the same path that dengue has gone and that chikungunya has gone. And so really tropical, subtropical areas of the world. And we're anticipating that we'll probably start to see cases in India. And certainly it has been in Southeast Asia, but more cases in Southeast Asia as well.
Dr. Durbin, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us and get us up to date on the Zika virus.
You're very welcome.
That was Dr. Anna Durbin, MD, an associate professor and researcher in the Department of International Health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore, Maryland. You're listening to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Rick Pantaleo. Today, we're talking about the Zika virus outbreak. Press Conference USA is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA, or just send us an old-fashioned email to PCUSA@voanews.com. Joining me in this segment is Dr. Judy Stone, MD, a physician, author, and an infectious disease specialist and researcher. Are there any lessons we can learn from the Ebola outbreak in West Africa a couple of years ago to apply to this current outbreak?
I think the biggest thing is to have a more active public health infrastructure in terms of identifying cases and responding. It's a little bit different because Zika is transmitted by mosquitoes rather than person to person like Ebola was. But you still need a robust public health response. One of the things that means in Latin America is education and particularly focusing on preventing mosquito transmission by eliminating standing water.
Let's talk a little bit about the public health aspect of the Zika outbreak, how they're addressing it. Do you think that the international agencies and groups are properly addressing this problem?
I think they're doing pretty well. They are having a more rapid response than they did to Ebola, and they are trying to do public education. There's a lot of misinformation that needs to be overcome. In particular, there are a lot of rumors that Zika is being transmitted by genetically modified mosquitoes or by larvicides, by pesticides that are being used to control the infections. And both of those are absolutely wrong and terrible rumors. The GMO mosquitoes made by Oxitec, for example, the quote-unquote friendly mosquitoes, I think have great potential for fighting Zika. The same thing with, there's another new technology called Wolbachia, which infects mosquitoes with bacteria and prevents them from reproducing and transmitting Zika. And I think we really need to embrace these new technologies. There's also no evidence that the larvicide that's been used in Brazil and Latin America is causing the microcephaly. But, you know, rumors tend to get away from facts and be more readily transmitted as information.
How serious do you think the current outbreak of Zika is, and where is the virus currently spreading the most?
It's important that people understand that about 75% of Zika infections are asymptomatic. People will not show any symptoms or even know that they were ill. So that really needs to be emphasized. Those who do become ill, it's hard to tell the illness from other viral illnesses that are going around now, like dengue and chikungunya. So that's also a problem and why it was unrecognized. Zika has been rapidly spreading throughout Latin America and the Caribbean and is now in 48 countries. And it was just in a handful before a year ago.
We've heard a lot of talk recently concerning the Zika virus, and I guess it's what brought the most concern to the outbreak currently underway in South America and the Caribbean and so forth, is the chances of pregnant women having a child with birth defects such as microcephaly. Are there any other conditions related to the Zika virus that people should be concerned about?
Right. Well, again, people need to understand, your listeners need to understand that the rate of microcephaly is still very low and that microcephaly happens even without Zika. And one of the things they can do is rubella infections are a major cause of microcephaly. So it's important that women be vaccinated for those infections that are treatable or preventable. Besides the microcephaly, which only occurs in a few cases per 10,000 births, the other major complication that's worrisome is a neurologic problem called Guillain-Barré, which is a type of paralysis. And that, again, is still a rare complication, but is increasing.
Are there any particular symptoms of Zika that people should look out for, especially those who have traveled to infected areas?
The symptoms, as I say, most people are asymptomatic. Symptoms include fever, headache, achiness. More people with Zika get conjunctivitis or a red eye, what would be called pink eye, than with these other viral infections.
Are there any vaccines or treatments available to prevent and treat Zika virus?
No, there aren't yet, and it will be some time. People have been working furiously on a dengue vaccine and now on Zika vaccine because of the possible link with microcephaly. But again, that's going to take years to develop a safe vaccine in all probability.
How can people protect themselves from the Zika virus?
Avoid mosquitoes. One of the problems with the Asian tiger mosquito, which is called Aedes albopictus, which transmits all three of these nasty viruses in the Caribbean, is that it's a daytime feeder. So it bites often around people's ankles, and it bites during the day, so you can't protect yourself with mosquito nets as you do as you can with malaria. It's important to use protective treated clothing like permethrin. Use permethrin on your shoes and socks and clothing, and that's safe even for pregnant women and children. And also to use insecticides as insect repellents on your skin. One other thing I wanted to stress to you is that people need to eliminate standing water around their homes. Anything from abandoned tires or buckets or flower pots, and even bottle caps that are laying around are large enough to have mosquitoes breed in them.
Do all species of mosquitoes carry the disease, or just a few, or one species in general?
No, this Asian tiger mosquito is the one that's causing the problem now, this Aedes albopictus. There's a related one that there's more of in the United States, and I have no doubt that we'll be seeing Zika in the southern U.S. within the next year.
How does the mosquito actually transmit Zika?
It feeds on an infected person, and it picks up the virus, and then when it bites another person, it injects the virus into that person. And apparently, one of the things I learned, actually, is that the mosquitoes often feed on four or five people before they go on to reproduce, so they have a chance to infect multiple people.
This particular species of mosquito that is known to spread the Zika virus, can it live anywhere, or are there specific areas of the world where they're more prevalent?
It needs warm climates, so that's why it's been seen in equatorial areas and South America and the South Pacific. Areas of the U.S. that are at risk are largely the Gulf Coast and Hawaii and California. Other areas are too cold for it.
Dr. Stone, since Zika is said to have originated in Uganda, they tracked it back to 1947. Is there as much of a problem there as it is in South America, Central America, and so forth?
There really have not been outbreaks in Africa in recent years. And the reason it's probably so bad in South America and Latin America now is because those people don't have any immunity. So in Africa, people have had decades to build up immunity from asymptomatic infections, or low, one mosquito bites you and you develop some antibodies and you're protected from infection. This virus was just introduced into the Latin American population where people hadn't seen it before, hadn't been exposed to it, and that's why it's exploding like that.
Right now, we're looking at a mosquito-to-person form of infection. In other words, spread from
right.
a mosquito to person. There have been links to other ways that the virus is spread, such as sexual links.
Right.
Do you see that the epidemic or the crisis could escalate because of this form of infection?
Sure. But again, it's thought to be a relatively low risk. This is the place, too, where I see the most similarities between Ebola. And what we learned in Ebola is that, again, rarely Ebola can stay hidden in what are called protected areas in people's bodies, be it the brain, the eye, or the testes. And so there have been rare cases of reactivation and the possibility of transmission sexually. I think we're going to see that in a small number of Zika cases. But again, the problem is when you have millions of people suddenly being infected with Zika, then even a small percent magnifies.
Dr. Stone, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today about the Zika virus.
Thank you for having me.
That was physician, author, and infectious disease specialist and researcher, Dr. Judy Stone, MD. This is the Science Edition of VOA's Press Conference USA. We'll be back with more of our program about the Zika virus outbreak after this.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
We're back with the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Today, we're talking about the Zika virus outbreak that the World Health Organization is calling an international public health emergency. Our final guest on today's program is Dr. Peter Hotez, MD. Dr. Hotez is the Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Houston's Baylor College of Medicine, Director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital, and President of the Sabin Vaccine Institute.
Dr. Hotez, you had mentioned in interviews you have conducted in the past, Dr. Hotez, about your concern about the virus spreading to Haiti.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we're seeing about this virus is it's not only related to where the Aedes aegypti mosquito is, but it's also related to extreme poverty. And that's a factor that not many people are talking about. So one of the reasons the virus particularly affected northeastern Brazil, like Pernambuco State, Bahia, is because that's where the core of Brazil's poverty is based. And women are, especially pregnant women, are living exposed to mosquito bites on a regular basis because they don't have window screens or holes in their window screens. And there's the environmental degradation in the neighborhood as well, discarded tires filled with water. So we're seeing poverty as a major driving factor for this outbreak, and this is why I'm particularly worried about Haiti. And it's even why I'm worried about the Gulf Coast of the United States.
Yeah, I understand that in Haiti, the country of Haiti, they have a high rate of annual pregnancies. Is that any effect on your concern for the country?
Well, the estimates from UNICEF are that on a given year, there's around 264,000 babies born in Haiti, and that's 264,000 pregnancies. Most of those pregnancies are occurring in women who live in poverty. And so I think we have to think of most of them as being susceptible to Zika virus. So I'm quite concerned that we could be looking at thousands or tens of thousands of cases of microcephaly appearing in Haiti. This is a human catastrophe and one that we need to take action on as soon as possible.
Are there any signs of that the Zika virus, may have mutated or could mutate?
There are some indications. This was a study published not long ago by scientists at the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil who found two genes encoding viral proteins known as NS1 and NS4 that differ by a nucleotide, and they have altered what's called codon usage, which is they're using certain types of genetic material that's more commonly associated with replication in human cells. So we do think it's possible that this virus mutated and adapted to replicating in humans.
What problems could a mutated Zika virus cause?
The big concern is it's by being more efficient in replicating in humans, you're getting higher amounts of virus in the blood. And so, therefore, it's more easily to transmit from human to mosquito back to human. I think that's an important feature. And by having more virus in the blood, there's a greater likelihood that the virus might be able to cross the placenta, and infect a pregnant woman's unborn baby.
I understand that the Zika virus is an arbovirus and is part of the family of viruses that include yellow fever, dengue virus, and West Nile virus. While no vaccine exists currently for Zika, dengue, and West Nile virus, I understand yellow fever is one of the few arboviruses for which a vaccination is available. True?
That's correct. So there's a well-established vaccine for yellow fever. That's a live virus vaccine. And there's also a new vaccine for dengue that was recently registered in Mexico, and that's produced by Sanofi Pasteur. So there are vaccines out there for arboviruses. It will take time to develop a Zika virus vaccine. I think we have the added problem with a Zika virus vaccine in that we have to remember who the population that we're going to be vaccinating is. It's women who are pregnant or planning on becoming pregnant. So the bar is very high from a safety perspective in terms of getting the vaccine out there. And I think it will delay the vaccine long enough, so it's unlikely this vaccine will be available in time for this current outbreak.
Since the Zika virus is related to yellow fever and dengue, is it possible to expedite development of a Zika vaccine from learning from research that went into developing vaccines for yellow fever and dengue?
No, there's no question that by having yellow fever and Zika vaccines, we can hit the ground running and developing a Zika vaccine. That's the good news. The bad news is what will slow us down is the fact that we'll have to do testing in pregnant women, because that's the population that we're going to want to vaccinate, or women of reproductive age, and that's really going to slow us down. So I'm fairly confident we will not have a vaccine in time for this epidemic, unfortunately.
One of the biggest concerns, I guess, driving a bit of the panic among some people regarding Zika is the threat of children being born with birth defects such as microcephaly. What is microcephaly?
So microcephaly refers to the fact that the head circumference is two or three standard deviations below the normal. The problem with Zika is not just the head circumference, it's abnormal brain development. We're seeing diminished amounts of brain tissue in babies with Zika associated with microcephaly. So the virus seems to be inhibiting the ability of neurons to replicate, big reductions in the central nervous system tissue in babies, and also the presence of what are called calcifications. And the hallmark of calcifications is a congenital virus infection that goes along with it. So we anticipate that these babies are going to be born with profound mental disabilities, maybe motor disabilities as well. They may not be able to walk. So this is a terrible, terrible birth defect.
Outside of Brazil, has a Zika outbreak ever been linked to microcephaly?
It looks like it has been, but retrospectively in French Polynesia, because we didn't have the big numbers like we have in Brazil. So, you know, if you do a back-of-the-envelope calculation and say that of the million cases that we've seen in Brazil, roughly about 4,000 cases of microcephaly, that's one in 250. So if you divide a smaller outbreak like in French Polynesia with, say, 10,000 cases, you may not be able to easily perceive that uptick in the number of cases of microcephaly. But I think we started seeing microcephaly probably in French Polynesia. It's continuing in Brazil, and now we're seeing it in Colombia.
Microcephaly, can it be treated? And if so, how?
No, unfortunately, this is a birth defect that's starting in the first or second trimester of pregnancy, probably early in pregnancy, and by the time the baby's born, unfortunately, I doubt there's very much we can do about it. And I should mention, it's not just microcephaly or in brain deficits, but we're also seeing stillbirths as well. And that's not being reported commonly, but I think we're going to start seeing that reported soon.
And finally, Dr. Hotez, what are public health organizations like the WHO, the CDC, and other institutions, and even unrelated institutions such as the World Bank, doing to fight this virus?
Well, the World Health Organization has issued a public health emergency of international concern, as they call it, which will hopefully garner some resources to fight it. The World Bank is looking at appropriating funds, and as well as the U.S. government. What really has to happen, though, is a concerted effort for mosquito control, which is our only technology that we have right now to combat Zika. So using insecticides and using every effort to get rid of standing bodies of water, old-fashioned methods that worked during the 1950s when we eradicated the Aedes aegypti mosquito from 18 Latin American countries, we have to do that again.
Dr. Hotez, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us about the Zika virus and what we may be looking forward to in the coming months.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. Peter Hotez, M.D., the Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Houston's Baylor College of Medicine, Director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital, and President of the Sabin Vaccine Institute. And that's all the time we have on this science edition of Press Conference USA. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Be sure to join us again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.